When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
G'day and welcome back to the Train a Happy podcast. My name is Tally Rye and this is the podcast that helps you have a feel-good relationship with fitness, food and body image. I don't normally say g'day when I do my little podcast intro, but in honour of this week's guest, I thought it was appropriate. I am chatting to Bella Davis, who is a content creator from down under, from Australia, who is all about body acceptance, self-care, confidence. And we had such a cool conversation. We really got into her relationship with her own body image, eating disorder recovery. We spoke about body hair and we spoke about being naked. And we just had so many great conversations about the pressures around aging and, you know, people's choices to get Botox and stuff like that. We had such a varied conversation around body image. I loved it. I think you're going to love this episode too. But before we get into that, let's of course hear from this week's Train Happy Trooper of the Week. This week's Train Happy Moment comes from listener Ellen, who sent in via our WhatsApp. Hey, I first heard you on the Go Love Yourself podcast. Shout out Laura and Lauren. We love them. We love the Go Love Yourself podcast, which I absolutely love, and it has given me so much. When I was listening to the way we could play with exercise, which I thought was great, so I joined Zumba. I absolutely love it, and I no longer see it as, quote, exercise. I see it as I enjoy it. I say movement a lot more now, and just changing words has been such a great turnaround for me. Thanks, Ellen. You know what? I love this Train Happy Moment because that is one of the easiest things we can do to change the way we view movement is by changing our vocabulary from exercise to movement. When I'm working with people, I'm always saying, let's not talk about it as exercise right now. Further down the line, exercise can be a neutral term, but when exercise has been so linked to punishment and a chore and restriction and dieting, and when it's been linked to things that you don't enjoy doing, it comes with such loaded connotation that it doesn't help us embrace a new way of thinking about movement. And so when I use movement, I think it really is just a term that is so much broader to describe moving our bodies, because in an intuitive movement paradigm, all movement counts. And I think when we think of exercise, we think of it has lots of rules about what counts. There's lots of shoulds, you know, it has to be in the gym, it has to be super intense, I have to get really hot and sweaty and all the rest of it. Whereas movement is so much more all-encompassing and can be around, you know, anything from hoovering, cleaning your house, to walking your dog, to dancing with your friends on a night out, to, you know, doing a yoga class and running 5K. All of those things are movement. And I think it really helps us neutralize movement again and just help it feel a little bit less loaded and let go a lot of the history that we have with it so we can move forward with a new positive approach. So thank you, Ellen, for sharing that. If you have a Train Happy Moment you want to share with us, then please get in touch via our WhatsApp. You can send us a message or you can send us a voice note, which we really love, to 075-999-27537. And if you put a +44 in front of that, if you're an international listener, you'll get us. So we want to hear from you. Get in touch. We want to share your Train Happy Moments, as always. But enough from me for now. Let's hear from the lovely Bella for this big body image conversation. Mm-hmm. Bella, thank you so much. I know you're staying up late to chat with us all the way in Australia. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So I was doing my research for this chat. I've kind of gone way back through your Instagram feed. And I was looking to see that you have been sharing body image content and sort of anti-diet content since about like 2020.
Yeah.
And I was just really curious, like, what was the catalyst? Because from what I could see, it was like, this was your usual Instagram.
Yeah.
And then one day you were like, fuck diets. Literally. Fuck this. I need to make a stand. And I just really loved it. I was like, oh, something's happened here. Like, I'm just curious, like, what was that catalyst to go like, I need to be talking about this?
I think it was in lockdown, and I was just scrolling my own Instagram feed, and I was just so sick of seeing all the diets and everyone being like, you have to come out of lockdown looking this certain way, and you have to be your fittest version of yourself. Like, use this time wisely. Use this time to get thinner, to get healthier. And I was so sick of it. I think I was just like by myself, living by myself at the time. And I was just like, no, fuck this. I'm just going to not do that. And I'm going to upload a photo of myself on my own feed. And I'd always like edited, filtered, photoshopped my images before this. So I'm sure it was like a shock to my friends and family at the time, but I was like, I'm just going to upload a photo. I think it was in a bikini or underwear. I can't remember. Of my legs, unedited. And I can't even remember what the first post was. I'm not going to lie. But I think it was something like, cellulite is normal. This is what my legs look like. And that's that. That's kind of how it started. More like my own little diary, but I still think it is funny that it happened on my own personal account.
Yeah, like, I'm just gonna go with this. And it must be interesting for your family and friends, because they're like, well, we naturally know what your body looks like.
Yeah.
But it was like, in some ways it's not a shock for them to see cellulite or see like this legs, because they're like, well, we've seen you in real life, like, we know what you look like. Actually, it's probably been quite odd being like, she's looking a little bit more like smooth and airbrushed than usual. Don't you think? Like, it's kind of weird how we kind of think about filters is like, wow, we're really deceiving everyone and they'll never know about this. And yet, like, in real life, you just are you.
I think at the time I thought I was fooling everyone that, like, this is what I look like.
I think everyone does.
Yes. I think so too. It's like when people reach out to me and they're like, I'm ashamed to wear a bikini in front of my friends or whatever else. I'm like, but your friends know what you look like already. Like,
yeah.
They see your body. They know what you look like. You don't need to be like feel insecure about that. But yeah, I think I just thought, you know, that I was fooling everyone. But it's so funny that you say that, because they probably would have been thinking what you said. That,
well,
like,
yeah,
she looks like
I know those legs.
Yeah, exactly. So funny.
And yeah, so you were started really sharing stuff, and I presume there had been maybe a bit of a, I don't say battle is quite a strong word, but like a battle with your body image and maybe leading up to that, obviously using filters. I've seen like online, you've spoken a lot about relationship with food and your relationship with your body. What was it like prior to 2020? What, like, set the scene for us? Where were you at before you were like, fuck this?
Yeah. So in 2016, I developed an eating disorder. So I was struggling with an eating disorder for about 5 years. It was really hard. It got at its like peak, like probably 2017, 2018, when I was really struggling and I had to reach out for help because it was getting so bad, so obsessive. But after that, I was still, even though I was in recovery, I was still, you know, yo-yo dieting and everything else. I wasn't struggling so much with like the other sides of an eating disorder. Like, I had lost my hair was falling out and my memory is foggy, but I was still, you know, yo-yo dieting because I thought that was the idea of health. So I was still chasing health, and I was like, well, if I want to be healthy and the best version of myself, I have to try this diet, I have to try that. So in some way I didn't think it was so bad, because I was like, well, I haven't got the eating disorder anymore, I'm just trying to be healthy. So I was still doing all of that, still body checking, still obsessing over my body, still over exercising. So I think for like years after, like 4 years, I was struggling. And then it took me lockdown to kind of, you know, reset my mind frame and actually be like, why am I doing this? Like, this doesn't bring me joy. Like, eating this doesn't bring me joy. It's not fulfilling me. Over-exercising isn't bringing me joy as well. Like, I'm unhappy going to the gym for 2 hours a day. Like, I don't, this doesn't make me happy. And lockdown was just really helpful for me in a way. I know it sounds silly to say that, but like, it was helpful for me to actually take a break from the gym and take a break from the dieting. And because I wasn't able to get to a gym, I was just walking for like pleasure, and I was starting to try different foods, and I was starting to cook again because everyone was cooking online. It was like exciting and fun. And I fell in love with like food again. And I fell in love with like moving my body in ways that brought me joy instead of punishment.
Mm.
And then obviously my body was changing because I wasn't, you know, exercising for 3 hours a day and restricting what I was eating. And I was just eating for joy as well as, you know, nutrition. And then through that, through my body changing, I actually started to embrace that change and be like, you know what, like there's a pandemic happening. People are losing their lives. It's awful. Like, it's so sad. I'm so grateful to be healthy. I'm so grateful that I have my health. Mm. And that's what I need to be thankful for. Like, my body is getting me through this pandemic. Like, I'm not going to belittle it. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to compare it. And I just started to accept it and be a little bit kinder to it. And that's how it really started for me.
I think a lot of people resonate with this through eating disorder recovery. You can like recover from the initial bit, and then there's almost like this faux recovery where you're like, I'm not actively doing, you know, all the eating disorder stuff, but I am still micromanaging a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do it in this thing. And I think often that's a journey to people to, that's like a stop on the way to a greater recovery. But you're right, there's a lot of diet culture and sort of the diet wellness industry that can really normalize that.
Yep.
And I, like you say, it takes time to get to that point yourself, doesn't it? It gets time to go, hang on a second, this is still quite restrictive. This is still, there's still rules and limits around what I'm allowing myself to do and not allowing myself to do. And, you know, it's interesting how this pandemic has, I think, changed so much for so many people.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this was a chance for you to kind of stop and reevaluate and go, hang on a second, like, what do I want to do?
Exactly. It was 100% that, because it allowed me to kind of just like relax a little bit as well. And, you know, connect to my body. I didn't have to worry too much about people seeing my body and me judging my own body because of that as well. I kind of just had to sit with this body and try and be okay with it and try and accept it and try and be kind to it, which was something I'd never done before. You know, like, I was never happy with my body. I was never at peace with my body. I was always wanting to change something. Like, I was like, no amount of weight is enough. I have to get to this. And when I would get to this, I wouldn't be happy with that. So I think it just allowed me to, relax and take the time to reflect on why I was doing all this stuff, the dieting and the obsession and the over-exercising, because I was like, it's not bringing me joy. And if anything I've learned is I have to be grateful for my life, my body, and I have to do things that bring me joy from here on out.
I love that philosophy. Obviously, well, this is the Train Happy podcast. It's all about joy and like doing what feels good, because it doesn't feel good to like be restricting and doing all those things. And so since 2020, obviously, you've been sharing a lot of this journey online. You know, one thing I'm curious about is you are based in Australia, and I think there's even greater pressure on sort of bikini bodies and you know, just the nature of you living in a coastal town in a hot country compared to where, you know, the UK, which we don't spend that much time in a swimsuit unless we're going abroad. I know that there can be a lot of pressure, and in some ways the kind of body acceptance space and these sort of conversations, well, from an outsider's perspective, feel like maybe Australia's a little bit slower to kind of pick up on this stuff?
Yes. It is. It's really slow to pick up on anything, but especially body acceptance and, you know, normalizing normal bodies, accepting fat bodies, accepting all types of bodies. Australia is so slow on it. Our fashion industries, our fitness industries, we're so slow on it compared to the UK, because I find it's really funny. I feel like I have more followers in the UK than I do in Australia.
And, interesting.
Yeah, and more like, you know, people I connect with are from the UK. I found that weird at first, but I'm like, it's because Australia is so slow on this train. And I feel like the UK is a lot further ahead than Australia is. And maybe you're right, maybe it is because, you know, we're quite coastal. Summer, like a lot of the time, it's warm a lot of the time. So there's that extra pressure, possibly. I don't know what it is, though. I think that's all I can put it down to.
Once again, from an outsider's perspective, I feel like with Australia, there's like when I think of wellness, I think of Australians, you know, just even from the influencers I see and things like that. And the people I know who have like the biggest followings over there in this sort of health and wellness space, they're very like thin and white, able-bodied people who, you know, and that really kind of upholds a lot. So that's what we think of when we think of health and fitness and, you know, what's beautiful and what's accepted. And so, you know, for you to go like, oh, I do not like this. And I'm sure there's a ton of people living in Australia. And I know there are listeners in Australia. And I wonder if they would agree that, I mean, same with the UK. I mean, we have such diverse body shapes and sizes and backgrounds. I think we have in some ways, you know, if we think of like inclusive marketing campaigns and things, like there has been a more of an effort to for inclusivity and diversity. I do think there has that effort is being made. And I just wonder, I don't know if people are quite, I don't know, less inclined to kind of really push the mold of what is seen as kind of accepted and worthy and included in the media as well, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. Like 110%, I agree with that so much.
So in terms of growing body hair and sharing that online, one thing I did find in my research was a Daily Star article about this. And it was like, woman grows out her bikini line and like shock that might be something a woman might want to do. The fact that it made a headline is hilarious to me. How did you feel about that? I presume you've seen the article. I presume you've seen kind of the conversation around all of this.
Yeah, I think someone sent it to me and I laughed. It was so funny. The headlines are always hilarious. But I was just like, we all have body hair. I don't understand how this makes the Daily Star. Like, we all have body hair. It's human. It's normal. It's natural. We all have it. I just don't understand it. Like, I think it's a conversation around body hair is still so taboo, though. People still feel so much shame, embarrassment, disgust about body hair, about seeing body hair. Like, I would say people who identify as female, especially, people really aren't bothered with male body hair at all. But they're just so shocked when they see a woman with body hair. Like, it's the most bizarre thing, but I guess thinking back, maybe I was shocked as well when I first saw photos of women embracing their body hair and accepting it, proudly accepting it if they were in a bikini or lingerie. And maybe I was shocked too. I probably was. I was probably like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. But I remember thinking it was quite liberating and being like, wow, this is incredible. Like, I wonder what it feels like to not shave. That must be great, like to not have to worry if your legs aren't perfectly shaved to go to the beach, to not have to worry if your arm hairs aren't properly shaved. Like, that must be a really great feeling, because I used to feel so much shame and, you know, making sure I was like perfectly shaven when intimate and like getting in there with the razor and like right before being like, I'll have to make sure everything's good. And I do remember, yeah, feeling quite liberated by seeing other women embracing theirs but scared to embrace my own.
I don't know about you, but the messaging I got around it growing up was like, oh, that really smelly feminist who lets her up. Like, if you let your arm hairs grow long, then that's kind of unhygienic. And, you know, you're like one of those sort of annoying feminist people. And that was just so the strong association. Like, it was just so steeped in misogyny and from definitely like a male perspective of what's deemed attractive in a woman, in a cis woman. And I think what this process, I think, of kind of letting go of diet culture, healing from an eating disorder, all these things, is it teaches us to challenge these beauty standards, challenge them, like, who decided that you get to have hair and I don't?
Exactly.
Who decided what is considered beautiful and what is not? Who is setting those standards? And more often than not, is set by men.
Yes.
And it kind of all comes back to the patriarchy. And that, you know, there's such a rebellious part of us that is like, I'm not playing by your rules. I'm not doing this. Like, I can think for myself. I can make these decisions. Do you think a lot of it was like, just like I said, putting the middle finger up to the patriarchy?
Oh, 100%. I feel like a lot of what I do is because of that. 100%. I was just like so sick of being told how to look. And also, I grew up watching the same, you know, shaving ads time and time again. Like,
yeah,
oh, you shave your legs. You're beautiful. You're worthy. Oh, you have to do it. I was like, that's not realistic. Like, I'm left with razor bumps. I'm left with like patches that I forgot to shave. Like, this is not realistic. And I just want to, you know, I want to experience what it feels like to not shave. And I just did that. That's all I did to start with. I was like watching my underarm hairs grow, and I was like, oh, they're getting so long. I could like stroke them now. It was kind of exciting. And I was like, oh my God, I've never gone this long without shaving my underarms, because I used to shave them on rotation, I swear, like every 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it was just cool. It was just fun. And I still do that now. Like, sometimes I still do choose to shave, but only when I really want to now, and very rarely. But it's just, I don't know, it's liberating. It really is. Like, and you realize, you know, your body hair isn't dirty, it's natural, it's human, it's supposed to grow, and you might even learn to like it, or at least just accept it anyways.
I think the big thing as well is it's one less thing to worry about.
Oh, yes.
One less thing to be thinking about, of like, oh, have I done this, have I done that, have I, you know, it's just another thing to kind of take off the checklist of all the things we have to think about in terms of how we present ourselves, right?
I couldn't agree anymore. And I think also, like, I'd been so manipulated, brainwashed by the patriarchy, yeah, to think I was unworthy, unattractive with body hair. So I think it was really nice for me to take some ownership back of my own body and, you know, be like, I'm not any less attractive or any less worthy for having body hair. It's normal. If you're allowed to have it, I'm allowed to have it. So I think it was just really nice for me to do that and like learn to accept it that way, because I was like, why do I hate it so much? Like, I only hate it because I've been told to hate it. I only hate it because I've been told it's unattractive. But is it really? Or is that just what I've been told? And that was really good to challenge that idea as well, and like to figure that out, and to figure out that, you know what? No, I actually don't hate it. I've just been made to believe this way.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I imagine throughout this whole process, and I've seen you kind of discuss it online as well, that often when you're in this process of kind of letting go of these beauty standards and you kind of just feel less and less bound to these rules and you just become increasingly more comfortable in your body, that really transfers into intimate life. And it's something I've discussed on the podcast for myself in that, you know, I've never been more confident naked, essentially.
Yeah.
Because I'm not thinking about these things, and I've been much smaller and much less confident naked. And I just wonder what your experience with that has been like.
Yeah. So at first I remember being nervous. I think like, if it was like intimacy with body hair, I remember being nervous about it. I remember having all the same fears I had, of like being like, oh, I need to be shaven. It's unattractive. It's unhygienic. Someone's going to get grossed out by this. And I remember thinking that it was going through my head. But then I had to keep reminding myself that like, no, it's not gross. It's not dirty. It's not unattractive, but it was hard. I won't lie about that. Like, it was hard, and it was pushing a boundary and a wall that I'd built up over time. But it was just relearning and retraining my mind, I think, and just reframing how I felt around body hair. Because, like I said, it was uncomfortable, and I was nervous that my partner was going to be like, what the fuck? But obviously he didn't. He doesn't care.
Don't you find that interesting as well? Like, you think this, all these things about your partner, and, like, at the end of the day, they don't care.
No, they don't
care.
Well,
in my experience, like, I used to be so self-conscious, like, oh, no, I haven't prepared myself. Same. Kind of, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
They catch me off guard. And now it's just like, honestly, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm like, they're lucky to be near my body. So
totally.
They win.
Totally. And I think the right person like really doesn't care.
No, I agree.
You know, they love you, and they're into you as a person.
Yes.
And kind of whatever form that takes.
Exactly.
It's not a big deal.
Exactly.
Because it's you that they're into, you know?
Yes. And I think you're right. Like, the more my body was changing in terms of like letting myself grow my body hair, I was becoming more accepting of that and more confident within my body, which was really exciting because I'd never felt like that before. And it was cool to challenge everything I've been told to believe about body hair and like just learn to accept it myself. It was just nice. It was like freeing of like these beauty standards I've been brought up to believe were God, like, and now being like, no, they're bullshit, like they're trash. My body's allowed to exist as it is. So it's really nice sometimes pushing against what society tells you to do. I find it very thrilling.
You know how they say rules are made to be broken,
yes.
Right? There's like this inner rebel in all of us.
Yes.
Yeah, and we just want to kind of go like, no, I'm doing it my way. And I've always been quite strong-minded and strong-willed, and I think that's probably part of it as well, of like, no, I'm doing it how I want to do it. Thank you very much. I won't be told. I think that appeals to that side of my nature, and it sounds like it does for you as
well. Yes, 100%. I just was sick of being told how to, like, look, what is beautiful, what isn't beautiful. And I still challenge those ideas every day, especially with like aging, I think. Like, it's a big,
yes,
it's a big one. That's
that,
like,
is a big one.
Yeah, we're being like, you know, marketed anti-aging creams every single day. And I'm still like, within myself, challenging that. Like, you know, it's a struggle. I think it's like, you know, I don't know about you, but like all of my friends are like considering Botox, or some of them have had Botox, and we're in our 20s. And I'm just like, oh my God, we're so young. And then they're like, oh yeah, but you need to do it now because like you don't want
preventative Botox.
Yes. They're like, you don't want wrinkles when you're 30, 40. And I'm like, I have no problem with people doing whatever they want to do with their body. Like, no problem anyone getting like cosmetic surgery, whatever makes you happy. But I just want to challenge the idea of aging and why we find it so shameful, especially for women. Like, it's seen as like this like really bad thing, like, but thing that's going to happen to everyone, and you can't stop aging. You can't stop the aging process. Every day, I think, like, when I see a new wrinkle or whatnot, I'm just like, oh, that's like, it's supposed to be there. Like, great, it's a blessing to age. But then, you know, yeah, you have that voice in the back of your mind that's like, oh, maybe I need to get that Botox like everyone else is getting. But then I'm like, no, but you know what? Like, it's nice to see people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s looking like they are.
I agree. And it's so, you know, I'm early 30s now.
Yeah.
And I'm also getting married next year. Oh, and I've also, thank you, I've also seen a lot of the pressure. You know, I saw like a bride talking through like her wedding expenses, and like,
wow,
genuinely thousands of her budget was going on her Botox leading up to her wedding day.
Wow.
I think this is how much pressure, like, you know, wedding stuff, and we talk about this, and I have another series called Anti-Diet Bride, and we talk about it on there. But I think it just becomes even more heightened at this, A, in your kind of early 30s, and B, for like these big life events. Mm. Of like, you know, you've got to, yeah, get the Botox. And I even saw some stuff recently about how, you know, like, and this is a TikTok thing, less so an Instagram thing, because yeah, I think Instagram can be that bit more curated around how fillers can, like, if you do fillers really well, like, they really subtly change the shape of your face, and, you know, yeah, they make you, and like, this person, like, the before and after, like, it was really, like, good. Like, it's, this was, like, good work where, yeah, you're like, wow, this person has made, and then I'm like, but if I suddenly start changing the shape of my face, I no longer have my parents' features. Yeah. I no longer have my ancestral me.
Yes.
You know, I no longer have that. I'm just trying to change it to look like everyone else. And I want to be part of my mum, part of my dad. Yeah. I want to be part, look like my grandparents. I don't want to eradicate all the things that make me look like me and instead look like everyone else. But it's so enticing when you're like, wow, yes, that was actually really good. They just did a look that was very subtle, and it looks very classy. And I think a lot of us know a lot about the body stuff. It's like neck down. I think a lot, especially people listen to this podcast, I know within my friends as well, it's like there is a general consensus of like, yeah, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
The pressures that are on our body to be thin. And I think those same pressures are being put into us to not age.
Yes.
And it's all the same. It's the same energy. It's the same people deciding what is beauty and that youth is beauty.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same people who are deciding that thin bodies are better than fat bodies.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And yet it feels like we have a lot of progress around our bodies, and yet our faces are like, it's really hard. It's really hard.
It's really hard, isn't it? And like, I don't know if that, well, it has a lot to do with filters, actually. I was going to say, I don't think it has,
yes,
a lot to do.
It does.
I think it has a lot to do with filters. And just like all the anti-aging products. Like, sometimes I'm like going into Sephora or something, I just want like a nice face oil or whatever else, and it's like Target sprinkles. And I'm just like, oh, like, I feel bad buying this product now because I'm like, oh, it says it's Target sprinkles, but like, everyone's buying it. And then I'm just like, isn't that just awful? Like, the subtle ways they shame you for aging.
Men are allowed to age.
Yes, they are.
Men get gray hair. Men, mm-hmm, are, you know, they're silver foxes. They're,
yep,
they're not, you know, held to the same standard where it's like, J-Lo's 50? Oh my goodness. Like, J-Lo's 50 years old. Like, look at her.
At 50, yeah, they always do,
yeah,
that.
And it's just like, okay, well, now we're all trying to, now we feel like as women, we have to look like J-Lo at 50 rather than, I don't know the show. I know it's an American thing, but have you heard like the Golden Girls?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yeah.
And they were all, you know, like perms and blouses and like kind of how you like your grandma dressed. And they were in their 50s when that show started. They were in their 50s. Yeah. So they were in their 50s when that show started. If you think of like that kind of classic view of what all our grandparents look like.
Yeah.
And now our 50-year-olds are like J-Lo.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, things have changed.
Yes. Oh my
and
God.
And we have to somehow keep up.
Yeah, we do. Like, which is just so hard. Like, I think that's the one thing, like you said before, that I struggle with the most. Just like wanting to allow myself to age, but then feeling the pressure from society and beauty standards and everyone else around you, really, like being like, oh, but you can't age. Because I feel like everyone I know has tried Botox, or everyone I know has been wanting to.
Same.
Yeah, really. And same.
Especially in the influencer space, I've had so many people say to me like, yeah, like everyone gets it. Like everyone, if someone's an influencer online, they've probably had Botox. And I think a lot of them probably have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't judge those people.
Neither.
Because I think, you know, they kind of say like, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah.
Like I send the energy towards the patriarchal beauty standards that make us think that it's not okay for us to age. But yeah, like, it is becoming so more normal. And, you know, I think for me, like if I'm doing this work, for me on a personal level, it just doesn't align with my values and it just doesn't align with all the work I've done on my, you know, accepting my body. Mm. And it might align with other people's values and that is fine. But just on a personal level, I think for me, I've kind of really come to the decision, like, I'm happy looking the age I am because this is my age.
That is your age.
My dad died in his 50s.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, I want to look my age. I want to get there and be like, there are people who never make it to that point and they want to, you know, they want to look their age because they, you know, they got there. And it is a privilege. Like, it's a privilege to have crow's feet and smile lines. You know,
it really is. Like, I always think of all like the memories and the smile lines, that your face is a map, like, and it shares your life experiences, like every line tells a story. And I really like that. And I think that makes me feel more comfortable with all like the lines, because I'm like, oh, thinking of it like that, it's just so nice.
I love that. Your lines are like, it's like a map. I love that. Like the map of your life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Totally. And there is one Australian influencer I can think of who's actually been very vocal about this, and it's Madeline Giorgetta. Yeah. I think that's how you say it.
Yes.
Yeah. Because she had famously made loads of YouTube videos like, here's all the things I get done to my face, you know, loads of filler and Botox and lip filler and all the rest of it, and then has since stopped doing all those things.
Really?
And has really, and has written quite a lot about it and shared quite a lot about it. So I think that's someone for people to kind of, if they're just interested in, for someone who's kind of been there, done it, and then changed their mind, what that process was like. Because I also think there's this belief that once you start doing filler and Botox that you're doing that for the rest of your life, which is another thing that puts me off. Like, I don't want to do something and then feel like I'm paying thousands every year to try and upkeep something.
Me too.
That stresses me out. Yes, like a financial level. But yeah, her deciding like, I don't want to do that anymore. I wanted to see what it's like and kind of work on accepting my face as well. And that's been really interesting to follow that process that and her sharing that.
That is. I'm going to have to look it up because I'm so interested in this topic. And like you said, I don't think enough people are talking about it or wanting to talk about it. Maybe it's like an uncomfortable conversation.
I'll send you some links.
Yes, please. I'll send you some links.
Because I have read some interesting things about it. You mentioned your relationship with exercise previously had been quite strained and you spent a lot of time in the gym and working out. And, you know, through your recovery, I presume there was a period of like taking a step back from that and taking a break from it. You know, what has your relationship with movement been like up until this point, and where are you at now with it?
Yeah, so it was really hard taking a step back because I was just so consumed with it. It just became routine. So when I had to take a step back and I had to have a long break from stepping inside a gym, I think it was like two years probably, I kind of just wanted to be like, what do I enjoy? Like, how do I enjoy moving my body? Because I thought exercise was punishment. Like, I was like, exercise is to make you thinner, make you healthier, make you more toned. Like, that's all exercise is. Like, and that I was so led to believe that way. And, but then when I took a step back, I was like, no, you know what? Like, I love working out for my mental health. I love working out because it makes me feel good. My body deserves movement as well. Like, my body deserves to move, and it's a joy to move. So I started doing like small things. Like, I would go for walks. I'm not a runner. I've tried. I don't enjoy it. I've really tried to. I would go for walks with the dog. I picked up roller skating. I love roller skating. I haven't done it in a while, actually. Yeah, I love it so much. Like, I would go to like a car park where there were no cars. Like, the top level of a car park is where you always want to go.
That's a really good tip.
Yeah, there's never any cars up there. And I would just roller skate, listen to music, have it playing through my car, and just skate. And it was so much fun. I would dance around my kitchen, just doing small things to move my body, but in ways it didn't feel like exercise was really big for me. And probably over the last year, I joined like group classes because I always liked exercising as a group. And when I was in the height of my ED, I was exercising as a group, but it was very competitive. And I'm a very competitive person. So now I know, you know, I would never enter a challenge or anything like that again because, like, that could spike my ED. I would never weigh myself because that could spike my ED. So there's things like I know not to do now, but like, I love exercising as a group. So I've been doing that recently, but also reminding myself, you know, it's okay not to go one day if I'm not feeling it. So I really listen to my body. I don't force myself to go if I don't want to go. And that's been really nice because I used to force myself to go. But now if I'm actually like not feeling it when I wake up in the morning and I'm not feeling it in the afternoon, I just won't go. I'll go for a walk or something, or I'll dance around the kitchen, or maybe I just some days I just won't do anything. And that's fine too. But yeah, just finding things I enjoy, but also listening to my body when it's like, no, we don't want to do this. And reminding myself that's okay too.
I love that. When I work with people with intuitive movement and kind of use that framework with them, we talk about, well, firstly, when you were saying how you didn't go into the gym for 2 years and you just kind of really reevaluate what you want to do, I call that the fuck it phase.
Yeah.
So there's like a big pendulum. It has to swing. I think it's really important when you're going through this process, especially in recovery as well, like there needs to be almost like a swing in the opposite direction or for you to take step back. Big step backs from things that you've been doing to kind of neutralize where you want to be, you know, to be able to get to the point where we've gone from one extreme to another extreme to then find a middle ground, which works for you, which it sounds exactly what you've done really rather naturally, which is lovely to hear.
Yeah.
And then the idea of just listening to your body and like, if I want to take a day off, I'm going to take a day off. And I don't have to. I do this exercise with people where I give them different scenarios and I say, in that scenario, how would you work with your body and how would you work against your body? And so the example that you gave of like, so sometimes if I'm waking up and I'm, you know, say you've had a bad night's sleep or you're just not feeling it, what would you do when you're working against your body? And I'm sure there has been many a time where you've previously like just carried on, just got it done no matter what, because hashtag no excuses, you know, always got to show up.
Oh God.
And then working with your body is going like, I'm going to actually sleep and maybe I'll see how I feel later. And maybe I won't do anything today because I'm not up for it, but we'll see, you know?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've really naturally done that, which is awesome to hear.
I think it was hard at first. Like, I still don't really love gym settings for me personally. I just, like, I don't know, I feel kind of lost in a gym as well. There's a lot going on. And I don't love it, but, like, finding exercise that I do love, like the group classes, I love that. It's fun.
It's community and it's friendship. And
yes.
It's, like it's having people there. And you know what? This is something I always say to people, because similarly, I was a gym girl through and through.
Yeah.
I never go to the gym anymore. It's just not for me. And I think when I'm there, it's, I could go back into old habits and old ways of thinking. And like, if you're not a gym person, you don't have to be a gym person. There's so many ways to move your body. And if you found other things you enjoy, then that's fine. Like, do that. Because, and I think especially if something's been related to an eating disorder behavior and been really strongly linked to that time in your life, it's really understandable. And I think I would not encourage people to kind of revisit that and go like,
same, yeah,
you should go back to the gym. I'd be like, go try something else. Because it's not that movement is bad or wrong, or that your eating disorder even has a monopoly on exercise. It doesn't. But it's just, okay, clearly, like, for you to kind of recalibrate where you want to be, like, going back there is not going to help you right now. Go do the things you really enjoy. Go build your new positive experiences. Get that time doing things where it's not a punishment and you are able to listen to your body and trust your body. And so maybe one day you do go back to the gym because you're like, I have the tools and the resilience now to go back to the gym and do it on my terms rather than slipping back into old patterns. But also, if you never go back to the gym, that's fine too.
Exactly.
And I think it sounds like you're really naturally gravitating towards that. And I think you doing all the things you love is like, so what, when I work with people, what I encourage them to do, you know, go do the things you enjoy. Because of course, then you actually want to do it, and then it's fun, and then it's self-care, and it's all those things, you know?
Exactly. And I think I was so, you know, like hell-bent on being like, oh, you have to be in the gym for a minimum of an hour. If you can do more, great. That's even better. And you have to exercise for, you know, over an hour. But now I've found, you know what, if I go for a 15-minute walk, great. That's 15 minutes I've moved my body for. If I've danced around the kitchen for 15 minutes, excellent. That's 15 minutes. Good. I've done something good for my mental health today. Like, I've moved my body. I've done something good for my body. So I think that's been really helpful, and being like, not feeling guilty about not moving your body as well. Like, it's something like I've struggled with so much in the past, and I maybe still have moments, because like I say, with recovery, I feel like recovery is an everyday thing. Like, for me anyways, absolutely, I have to choose to recover every day, as hard as it is, as much as I'm like, yes, I'm recovered from my eating disorder, but like, there might still be like voices in my head one day, like that come to me and be like, it might be the ED voice, but like, now I don't feel guilty for taking time off. Like, I was recently sick and like, I would have pushed through that, the old me, but now I'm like, oh, I haven't, you know, I've just been resting, and that's great. That's what my body needed me to do. Like, and I don't feel guilty for not doing this, but like, if I can get 15 minutes of moving my body in, like, getting my heart rate up, feeling good, that's great. That's a good day for me.
Yeah, and you're right. You have to, it is a choice, and you do have to choose it. And it sounds like you're really tuned into that, which is really important. Before we go, I have to ask you then, what has been your most recent train happy moment?
Oh, like, this is silly probably, but today, like, I saw these cookies at the shop, and the old me probably wouldn't have like grabbed them. But I grabbed them and I was like, great, I'm going to eat these today, and they look delicious, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it because my body feels like a cookie and I'm going to eat this cookie. And then I made pasta for dinner. So like, I ate for joy, and that's really nice sometimes. Like, it's so nice eating for joy. And I feel like recently I've been more in tune with that. Like, obviously, I'm thinking about the nutrients as well, but I'm just like, joy, eating for joy is so good. Like, because food's so much more than like, you know, nutrition.
Just macronutrients.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is love. It is joy. It is memories. And just like, recently I've been cooking so much, and it's just bringing me so much joy and making me happy. Like, and I never used to like cooking, but because I am now and I'm enjoying trying these different meals, it just brings me so much happiness. So I've tried so many different TikTok meals this week.
I love that. I love that. That's where you get your inspiration from.
Quick, easy dinner.
Love it. Oh, Bella, this has been such a great chat. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I'd love for you to tell everyone where they can find you, follow you, and just get more empowerment from you.
Well, thank you. I've loved chatting to you. You can find me on Instagram and my handle is IsabellaDavis6. I'm there, yeah.
Perfect. We will share that. Thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, we really appreciate it. And we hope it's not too late for you.
No, it's fine. Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
But that is it for this week's episode of the Train Happy podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you took something away from this episode. And if you did, please do let us know on social media. You can find us on Instagram at Train Happy Podcast. And we do want to hear from you. We want your questions. We want to hear your Train Happy moments. And we'd love to feature you as Train Happy Trooper of the Week. So remember, you can get in touch with us via our WhatsApp. It is 07599927537. And whatever podcast platform you're choosing to listen to us on, please rate and review. It really helps the show and it really helps spread the Train a Happy message. And that is it for this week. I'll be back with a brand new episode for you next Monday. See you then.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.